south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, now here's an interesting question coming from listener Greg. He says, Johnny, about the previous show where you talked about the FBI not giving a background check to Americans that want to move to El Salvador. Or at least putting up some roadblocks to that effect. He says, just wondering, if an American that has, let's say, a Mexican passport, that is U.S.-Mexican dual citizenship, if he wants to go to El Salvador and go for a residency and passport there in El Salvador, will having that Mexican passport allow him to bypass that FBI check due to the fact that he's also a Mexican national? Good question, Greg. Well, here's the thing. I understand even if, let's say, you're living outside the U.S. in another country for 5 years or more. Let's say you've been living in Mexico and don't have a Mexican passport. But you've been living there, let's say, 10 years. And you decide to move to El Salvador, apply for residency there, and eventually leading to a passport. Well, guess what? In that case, when they look at your paperwork and check out the stamps on your passport and see you've been living in Mexico for the last 5 years, we're talking about officials looking over your paperwork in Salvador now. They're going to ask for a national police report from Mexico, called, by the way, in Spanish, Antecedentes Policiales, or sometimes called Antecedentes Criminales. Translation, criminal history, which is fairly easy to pick up at the local police station, or national police station, because usually every Latin American country has two police forces, a local police force and a national police force. Fact is, you might need to get a report from both places. That means, of course, if you've been living out of the United States for 5 years or more, the next country you apply for a residency in this case, we're talking about El Salvador, may not ask you for an FBI report at all. Because, you know, they're interested in seeing your criminal record, if you've got one, from the place or places you've been living in most recently in the past 5 years. Meanwhile, on the very same subject, an email came in from James. He's living in Texas. He said he went through the same process just recently in Texas and had no trouble at all. He's talking about going through the process of getting an FBI report. Of course, we all know that Texas is a different animal altogether, a freer state than any other state in the union. But what about getting an FBI report, which is federal, not state? Tell you the truth, if I was living up in the States, I'd definitely be living in Texas. Anyway, here's what he says about getting residency and FBI reports and all that when living in the state of Texas. He says, hey, Johnny, I've been enjoying the podcast for the last few months, but never seemed to get a chance to drop you a note. Well, I'm doing it now. I've been traveling around Europe and the Middle East, he says, the last couple of months, and really enjoying it. So much history and architecture. But I noticed you can't escape the fact that the bathroom paper versus the toilet paper we're accustomed to, well, there's a big difference. Just like so many places south of the border, you can't flush your paper down the toilet. Same thing in parts of Europe and the Middle East. That's so gross. Also, he says, almost all the showers in Europe and the Middle East are subpar. Crap, water pressure, random temperatures, no curtains, short doors. Of course, he says there are very simple solutions to all that stuff, but it seems no one there sees these as issues, or no one cares. Probably why some of those countries stay high on the list of the smelly country survey you talked about in a previous show. Though, one topic I wanted to circle back to you on was about the criminal reports you have to get in starting the residency process to get out of Dodge, that is, going for residency in a foreign country. I recall a few Expat Files shows ago, you mentioned folks were running into some issues obtaining FBI reports. Well, he says, I had just the opposite experience. I did it all direct online with the Criminal Justice Department in the U.S. Took just a few minutes. And I selected to get my fingerprints by a third party, which officially turns out to be a U.S. post office. Though not all U.S. post offices will perform that procedure, so it's hit and miss. With one post office even telling me the system installed has never worked for at least the last year. Great news, huh? So you may have to go to a couple of different post offices to get it done. Fingerprints for the FBI report, that is. For that and other reasons, I love Texas and walked right into the main post office in Fort Worth and was out in 10 minutes. 3 days later, I got the results in an email, and a week after that, it came in the mail. So overall, I had no problems. It worked pretty well. All right, me, Johnny, with just a little comment. You know, when you go for your FBI report, you don't have to tell them which country you're going to be applying for residency in. They don't ask you why you're requesting your report on that form. The fact is, when you apply for an FBI report, they don't know what you're going to use it for. It might be just for personal information. To see, for example, if something like a drunken driving charge in your own county would show up on there. Or like in some cases, I've heard some very old crimes and misdemeanors might show up 1 year and a couple of years later, go away. For example, something you might have got caught up in when you were a teenager. Well, sometimes old stupid teenage mistakes will show up on an FBI report, and sometimes, years later, they'll sort of get whitewashed or disappear. That's actually happened to a few expats I know. Anyway, in an earlier show when I was talking about a guy who had trouble getting his FBI report, as it turned out, he got the FBI report all right. That wasn't the problem. The problem came when he had to get the thing apostilled. That's required, you know, when you have a document officially submitted for residency in a foreign country, which is another step you need to do before you can hand it in to the country you're applying for residency in. And that's where the problems began. Because when you apply to get something apostilled, they ask a particular question on the form. What is it for? And when you check the box that says, I'm applying for residency in a foreign country, they ask the further question, which country is it for? And as it turns out, or so I've heard, if you put down, let's say, Mexico or Costa Rica or even Guatemala, there are no hangups. It just takes a couple weeks. It gets apostilled. You get it in your hands through the mail, and you're all set to hand it over to your immigration attorney. But when you put down El Salvador as the country that's going to receive it, that has turned out for some to be a red flag. And again, when you're getting something apostilled to send to a foreign country, you have to put down the name of the country. So anyway, when you say El Salvador, the federal agency doing the apostilling suddenly knows you're getting the hell out of Dodge and going to El Salvador, a country that's been a thorn in the side of the U.S. since Bukele has been elected. So naturally, they're on the Fed's shit list. What a coincidence. There have been cases of expats who've sent me emails saying their paperwork has been lost, or there have been long, mysterious delays during the process of getting it apostilled. Anyway, those are some of the stories I've been hearing along the expat grapevine. In other words, it's still pretty easy to get an FBI report, but you do have to get fingerprints ticked, which you've heard from that previous email involves a lot of running around to post offices and such. So the problem is not the FBI report itself. It's when you get it apostilled, which is another step involving another federal department. And being that the feds absolutely hate Bukele, El Salvador, Bitcoin, and the success they're having in putting away the gangbangers. Well, that kind of success makes every other lying politician in the first world look like the corrupt, lard-ass fool that he is. But you knew that already, right? All right, let's get back to the rest of James's email. He says, anyway, Johnny, I just wanted to let you know the system, not the courts, by the way, worked well for getting my FBI report. And I think it was less than $100 with all the fees and fingerprints. He says, now I just have to get that FBI report apostilled. Weren't we just talking about that, huh? Best of luck, man. Now, James, I assume you're going for residency in El Salvador. You never said in your email, but if so, let me know how that goes. Any hang-ups, delays, you know. And finally, James says, one question. Any guidelines on what might disqualify you from getting your residency? Some red flag that might show up on your FBI report? He says, I'm sure it varies by country and maybe situation. How strict are they? Could it be you are shit out of luck if you have any kind of record at all that shows up on your FBI report? He says, I'm asking because I have an absurd contempt of court misdemeanor from 4 or 5 years ago that might show up. Is something like that a deal breaker for getting residency in another country? Or does just a little more money need to change hands with the right person, a little grease? Seems like I remember you talked about something like this a long time ago on your show. That's all, Johnny, for now. Signing off. James Nomad. Good questions there, Jimmy N. Before we get deep into this, I'd just like to mention that I've done lots of traveling in Europe and the Middle East too, In fact, I lived in Europe for a while. And the thing that drove me nuts about bathrooms in Europe, specifically the UK, is a lot of the public bathrooms even had carpeting in the men's room. Are you hearing this? Carpeting! And worse yet, in the Middle East and in parts of Asia like Turkey, some of the bathrooms, even in the nice restaurants, were just holes in the floor and two places to put your feet. I'm not kidding. Of course, they had beautiful granite and marble bathrooms, but with just a hole in the floor? Come on. Although those holes were nicely carved out of marble and granite, still totally unacceptable. However, everywhere on the Gringo Tourist Trail, regular toilets, regular bathrooms. Because, well, if not, the word of mouth would kill repeat tourism. All right, about those FBI reports. Now, suppose you're sitting up in Texas and you want to get residency in Costa Rica. And you really don't have any connections and you don't know anybody. Well, you go on the internet and you look for immigration attorneys in Costa Rica. You pick one and phone them up. By the way, all immigration attorneys speak English. Anyway, once you've got that FBI report in your hands, if there were any past criminal convictions, you are pretty much shit out of luck. That's if you're dealing with your average immigration attorney that you found on the internet. However, there are some immigration attorneys that are very connected. They can use some leverage and pull some strings for you. Though, as mentioned, most immigration attorneys you just pick from the internet. They'll tell you right out if you got a bad mark on your FBI report, forget it. You're just not going to get residency. You won't be accepted. Now, if you've got a felony on your report, you really are shit out of luck, even if it happened, let's say, 30 years ago. But a stupid misdemeanor, well, the right lawyer can sometimes do his magic. So then how do you find that guy? Well, that's topic for another show. Now, there's another part to this equation. Many Latin American countries, like Guatemala, for example, they want you to get not only an FBI report, but a local sheriff's so-called good conduct report. In other words, they want a federal and a local report. Now, let's say you had a drunken driving charge. It's going to be on the local sheriff's report, but not the FBI report because it's not a federal crime. Well, normally that would disqualify you from getting residency in a country. You'd be shit out of luck. They don't want a known gringo drunken driver on their roads. Doesn't matter that most Latinos drink and drive all the time. The fact is, unless you get in an accident, the cops don't even care. But you knew that already, right? So anyway, the point is, you could have a nice, clean FBI report, but the local sheriff's report could be your downfall because it's got a misdemeanor charge or two on it. Like, for example, one gringo told me his local police report or sheriff's report stated he had a restraining order placed on him by his ex-wife, which, by the way, in the States is oh so common during divorces. Oftentimes, one party in the divorce will do that to the other, or they'll do it to each other, just to torture the other one or get some kind of revenge. I'm sure you've heard those stories and probably know someone that's happened to. Guess what? That'll show up on your local police or sheriff's report. Not good if you need that report when you're applying for residency, like you do in quite a few, but not all, Latin American countries. But guess what? All is not lost. There's a workaround. I've known many astute future gringo expats, that is, gonna-bes and wannabes, who pulled the trigger, got their plan B going. They had clean FBI reports, but their local sheriff or police report was a deal breaker. So then what'd they do? Well, they visited a friend or relative in an adjacent state. They temporarily borrowed that person's address to get a police report or a sheriff's report on themselves, saying they lived in that adjacent state. And voila, a clean report. Because a local sheriff's or police report only reports on criminal cases that were adjudicated in that county, district, or state. So if you don't actually live there, you can't have a record. Now, of course, I'm not recommending you do anything illegal. I'm just reporting on what many astute expats have done when faced with a somewhat stained local sheriff or police report. All right, moving on. Before I forget, I'm in the process of putting together my early bird list for my tentative February 2024 Expat Insider Seminar. We haven't picked the exact dates yet, but as usual, it'll be exactly a week long. I'm just waiting to get a few more signups before I put out the final itinerary. And once again, it'll be partly held in Guatemala and partly in El Salvador. Believe me, you won't want to miss it. The way it works, you know, every morning we have lectures and in the afternoon it's boots on the ground. Plus the added bonus of making some really great connections. That's the best part. That's what you really need when you're getting the hell out of Dodge. A very solid, intelligent network. So you don't make the same mistakes over and over again that so many green, fresh gringos make when they first get down. I was one of those, you know, a fresh green gringo when I first got down. I made tons of mistakes, spun my wheels for a couple of years, spent about 10 or 20 grand stupidly on things that didn't pan out, don't let that happen to you. Come down to my Expat Insider Seminar and see what it's all about. Get on the early bird sign-up list by sending me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Now, speaking of El Salvador, listen to this. It's from Lewis in Los Angeles. He says, Johnny, living in Los Angeles all my life, my parents, my cousins, my uncles, my aunts, I just got to get out of here. It's like living in the Twilight Zone. There's just so many examples to prove the craziness of it all. But like the Chinese water torture, longtime residents get used to it. But there is that breaking point, and I've reached it. You, Johnny, for sure have heard the saying, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Basically, know your enemy and never underestimate. Well, you know, all my life I've been getting the LA Times. That's the big newspaper throughout California. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's as libtard as they come. Worse than the New York Times. But I get it and I read it, even though some articles disgust me. But as mentioned, knowing thine enemy, even as the Bible says, is part of being informed. Now, Johnny, the thing is, I'm an American, born in America, but my parents were born in El Salvador. They escaped extreme violence, gang wars, etc. in the 1990s. Oh, they told me all the stories and stuff. And in retirement now, they want to move back to El Salvador. Because finally, after all these years, Bukele has made it safe. They're just so happy and giddy with excitement to return. But as for me, I'd like to visit there. That's the homeland. I've never been. But I have to admit, if my parents weren't from Salvador, I'd think the place was run by an absolute, totally corrupt dictator. Because the paper of record here, the LA Times, like the New York Times, only seem to publish articles that totally dump on Bukele and El Salvador and everything that's happening there. They're against Bitcoin, the rounding up of gang members, everything Bukele's doing. But just recently, Johnny, something happened. An article slipped into the LA Times. Had to have been a mistake because it was extremely pro-Bukele. And I'm sure they're taking lots of libtard heat for it. But it can't be dismissed or disregarded because it was written by a famous California professor and novelist. So anyway, Johnny, somehow on August 23rd, 2023, just about a month ago, the LA Times published this article. I don't know how it got in there. Since, like mainstream media, they attack Bukele regularly. Anyway, Johnny, have a look or have a read. You probably won't believe it either. Signed, longtime listener, Luis in LA. All right, me, Johnny here. Thanks for that article, Luis. It was great. It explains so much about El Salvador. Lots of stuff I didn't know before. And I've been there probably 20 times, even lived there a while. Now, I'll paraphrase it to cut it short, but listen to this. The title of the article, Why I Support Salvadorian President Bukele, the Scourge of Gangs and Corrupt Politicians. By Randy Ertill, E-R-T-L-L. Journalist, professor, best-selling author. Published in the LA Times, August 23rd, 2023. He starts out, just a few years ago, for all intents and purposes, I had no clue who Bukele was. He did come to the 2015 Day of the Salvadoranian event in L.A., Los Angeles, but I missed seeing or meeting him. Every year at that event, tens of thousands of Salvadorians gather together to celebrate their heritage and to honor the monument to the divine savior of the world. It's a powerful Roman Catholic Salvadoranian tradition held in Los Angeles every year. He says, back then in 2015, some 8 years ago, Bukele was already laying the groundwork for his presidential campaign, the one he won in 2019. I kept meeting people at various Salvadorian cultural events in my hometown of Los Angeles, USA. And they would say, that Bukele guy, he will win the presidential election. I thought, why are they so certain and who is this guy? At first, 8 years ago, I was skeptical and even wrote a column in the LA Times called Is Bukele the Real Deal or Just Another Pendejo? I assumed that he may have been just another corrupt politician, similar to the likes of Alfredo Cristiani, Armando Calderon, Saul Francisco Flores, Tony Saca, Mario Funes, and Salvador Sanchez Cerén, all past presidents belonging to either of El Salvador's major political parties, ARENA or FMLN, all who stole hundreds of millions of dollars to enrich themselves while Salvador's citizens struggled to survive. Now, about that political party ARENA. ARENA is the right-wing National Republican Alliance political party, founded by Roberto Arbuzon, leader of death squads that terrorized El Salvador in the early 1980s. during the 12-year Civil War. The CIA nicknamed him Blowtorch Bob because his favorite method of torture was applying blowtorches to his victims. Such is the hero and legacy of the Arena Party. Then there's the other, second biggest party, the FLNM Party, Farabundo Marti National Liberation Front, a conglomeration of the five guerrilla forces that fought against the Salvadorian government and military until a peace accord was reached in 1992. More than 80,000 Salvadorians were killed during that war. Most all analysts today agree that the military and its right-wing allies were responsible for the vast majority of deaths. Hundreds of thousands of Salvadorians had to flee to save their lives and crossed into Guatemala, Mexico, and many eventually ending up in Los Angeles, USA. Then, in 2019, came Bukele, promising to root out corruption, like all politicians say. After he overwhelmingly won the 2019 presidential election, I began to pay more attention and realized he was the real deal, a leader who would stand up for the rights of citizens and actually root out corruption. I saw that immediately when, right out of the box, Bukele began to prosecute and incarcerate dozens of corrupt former politicians and supporters of ARENA and the FMLN, the two big parties that had been in control for 40 years. Several former presidents, however, chose to escape from El Salvador to avoid being prosecuted. Former FMLN President Funes ran to Nicaragua, where President Daniel Ortega provided Nicaraguan citizenship and protection from extradition to El Salvador. Meanwhile, former ARENA President Francisco Flores had already passed away in 2016 in prison. Then, seeing that Bukele was serious, former ARENA president Alfredo Cristiana fled to Italy in order to avoid legal proceedings and incarceration. Soon, ARENA party and FMLN party got the message that Bukele was no pushover. Definitely not the same old, same old. Then came the hardest job of all. Bukele decided to confront the gangs that had been terrorizing El Salvador for decades. The problem started in the 1990s in the USA, mostly California. Massive numbers of Salvadorian gang members were deported back to Salvador from U.S. prisons. These were young men that had established gangs and were recruited into gangs in L.A. and other major U.S. cities. Although you might read that some U.S. elected officials and do-gooder community leaders claim that most of these gang members deported were children victimized by the Salvadorian Civil War, who had first joined those gangs to protect their own neighborhoods, there is almost zero evidence of that. Most all were adult criminals who preyed on their adopted U.S. communities. They'd learned their trade on the streets of the big cities in the U.S. and in prison. He says some Los Angeles citizens, Angelinos, may view gang members through high-profile programs like Homeboy Industries, founded by Father Gregory Boyle, which attempts to remove individuals from the gang life and help them re-enter society. We do have to give credit to Father Boyle, but his efforts have helped only gang members who want to rehabilitate and change their lives for the better. Scant few. However, you must realize the gang members Bukele is cracking down on in Salvador are different from those who returned to Salvador in the 1990s and 2000s. The Salvadoran gangs that thrived before Bukele took office were using tactics similar to those of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS. They tortured, raped, killed women, children, and senior citizens in a merciless manner. If people didn't pay them the required extortion money known as la renta, the rent, they could be kidnapped, tortured, and mutilated. Many were beheaded to instill terror within the citizenry. Those kinds of Al-Qaeda tactics were never displayed by the gangs up in L.A. The gangs in El Salvador Bukele had to deal with were a different kind of animal. As soon as Bukele took office, he implemented a zero-tolerance policy toward gangs. And soon, even according to Reuters, murders in El Salvador dropped 60% or more. Soon, the number of criminals incarcerated were in the tens of thousands, and many out-of-touch U.S. do-gooders and activists, and human rights advocates and civil rights activists in the U.S. and other countries denounced Bukele for sweeping up innocent people in the gang crackdowns, further alleging that some gang members have been denied basic human rights. The ARENA and the FMLN parties, remember those parties whose presidents are either in jail or on the run? Well, being that they're completely out of power, they conveniently joined forces. denouncing Bukele from the rooftops for sweeping up innocent people in the gang crackdowns. Meanwhile, relatives of gang members who've benefited from their criminal activity and extortions have attacked Bukele as well. Did these family members cry or protest when their relatives chopped off the hands and heads of some of their victims? Nope. Some of these criminals even recorded their gruesome, sadistic, and wicked tactics and posted them on social media sites daily. And now, 4 years after his election, Bukele is not just a hero in El Salvador, he is a hero throughout Latin America, even among Salvadorian Americans residing throughout the United States. The Salvadorian diaspora residing in Canada, Italy, Spain, and Australia are also overwhelmingly supporting Bukele, to the tune of over 90%. And as far as that political party FMLN, they now know their biggest error was to kick Bukele out of their party. He was its most talented supporter in the early 20-teens. And now he's the biggest headache those two political parties, ARENA and FMLN, have ever had. Bukele's long-term plan and dream is to unite Central America. Though that might sound too idealistic and far-fetched, but it's dreamers and visionaries who usually make transformative change. What Bukele is saying is that we are in a post-colonial era and that El Salvador can and should be free from U.S. intervention. Free from other countries like the U.S. meddling in Salvador's internal political affairs. Bukele is much more than a populist leader. He's a pragmatic leader who speaks and is able to capture the hearts and minds of millions of Salvadorians and non-Salvadorians throughout the world. He is a smart and free independent thinker who cannot be bought. And now, for the first time in 30 years, millions of Salvadorans can walk the streets and live in peace due to Bukele's firm, effective safety measures. Some supporters even dare to say that the modern-day divine savior of El Salvador is Nayib Armando Bukele, or as some might say, Bukele. So anyway, just so you know, that's what Salvadorians, the poor, the rich, the intellectuals, and the uneducated are saying about him. And the occasional backlash you hear from the press and the do-gooders, most all of it coming from the propaganda generated by the two totally corrupt political parties, ARENA and FMLN, who ran the country into the ground for 40 years up till 2019 when Bukele arrived. And Bukele, in just 3 years, flipped El Salvador from the most dangerous country in Latin America to the safest.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.